This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. Father John Stabino, one of the US Church's leading experts on drug abuse, said America's opioid drugs epidemic is getting more serious every day and is tearing families apart across the nation. Father Stabino is director of Catholic Charities Addiction Healing Ministry in Camden, New Jersey, and has dedicated the last 30 years of his life to helping addicts and their family members. He spoke to me earlier.
Oh, I believe it's getting much more serious every day because we're losing more people to opioid addiction than we have lost in the Vietnam War. Each year we lose around 50,000, and this year it's projected to be 60,000. That's more than we've lost fighting the entire war in Vietnam. So that's quite an epidemic.
What are the root causes of this epidemic? Or in other words, what's fueling it?
Well, I think it's fueled by a number of things. The first thing would be the availability of the drugs, how it was made available through the doctors prescribing it very easily. So people would come in and basically ask for them and the doctor would write them. But that's the surface cause. The root causes, as you asked, come from addiction being a spiritual disease. And because it's a spiritual disease, it's basically a hole in the soul that someone is trying to avoid. And that has a lot of meanings for a person inside. They do the drug, they feel the shame, they isolate and alienate themselves from other people, and especially from God. And that's why the 12-step programs is so important in getting people back to God, because that's the whole purpose of the program, is to get a sponsor who takes your hand and puts your hand in God's hand. The isolation and alienation that I talk about, if you look around the cities of the United States, you can see the youth all have heads plugged in, earphones. And that just tells people that they don't want to be bothered with talking to other people. They're in their own little world. When they go out to eat, they're all with their cell phones in their hands, and they don't know how to engage in social relationships. And so it's a whole different generation growing up with different values that are not social values and even not spiritual values. So that's kind of like the perfect storm that's leading into the numbers that we're seeing and the impact that we're seeing on the families, on the individuals, and on society as a whole.
Does this drug addiction epidemic, does it cut across pretty much all social classes? Is it more prevalent in urban areas? Because I heard it's also pretty rampant in many rural areas.
The seriousness of this is that it runs across all socioeconomic classes. Where I am in Camden, New Jersey, that's where they buy the drugs. But the ones who are buying the drugs are all from the more affluent surrounding counties, the middle class, the upper middle class, and this is where they're coming to buy drugs. And all the deaths are occurring in those families, the families of the middle class, the working class and the middle class. They're the ones who are dying. Black, white, yellow, brown, everyone is being affected, no matter the economic level of your family, the socioeconomic level. It's hitting everyone.
You mentioned earlier its impact on individuals and families. Can you describe for us, paint a picture for us, just how badly it is impacting on people?
On people, they are individuals. They are becoming less active, more isolation. Many of them tend to lose their jobs. It impacts their relationships, their marriages, the relationship with their children and parents. Its impact on the family, it very much tears families apart. It's a rift between mother, father, brother, sister. And the psychological effects of that have ramifications throughout the whole family system. They live in constant fear of the death of the one who's addicted.
And how is the Catholic Church reaching out to its victims? Is it very active in this field?
It's getting there. Right now, and in this diocese, Bishop Sullivan has thankfully allowed me to do this ministry full-time, which gives us more visibility and more of an opportunity to work hands-on with the addicts. Most churches allow their spaces to be used for support group meetings. Very importantly, right now, we are actually talking about it, which is better than the past where we really didn't talk about it. And there needs to be much more done. Each diocese needs to have a ministry to the addict. We need more education. We need addiction to be on the topic of the bishop's agenda, and also a reflection of that ministry from Rome in one of the dicasteries where it needs to be touched on, especially as we get ready for the Synod on the Youth, that this needs to be a topic to be discussed. So I believe the church is getting there, but I don't think it's there right now. I think Pope Francis's idea of the field hospital is an ideal place where addiction could be and should be treated. I just feel that this addiction has been ripping families apart and individuals apart, and I believe that the example that Pope Francis has given by his going to Brazil early on in his papacy and visiting a rehab, listening to their stories, embracing them, has helped give inspiration to people like myself working in the field and to addicts who witnessed that to believe that if the Vicar of Christ on earth can embrace and love them, that the church isn't a bad place, and it's a place where God can be found and where they are cared about. And I think that's such an important piece for us Catholics to have a pope who loves the people on the periphery.
Okay, moving on from the church's role to the authorities, both at the federal and the local level, what more needs to be done, in your view, by them to confront this crisis?
I think they're doing a wonderful job, especially in my area. The policemen, the FBI, the DEA are all educated. They are very proactive in treating this as a disease, in trying to do more treatment, less punishment. They are understanding the addict, and when they stop them or come across them, they treat them much more as humans and as somebody's son or daughter. The politicians are jumping on board, and the thing that they could do best for us is release some funding, and they have done, but the thing that we need is more beds to treat the people who want treatment. And they need to regulate a lot of these insurance companies and treatment centers who are overcharging or using bad practices in treating addictions or in how they recruit addicts for their treatment centers.
Presumably there's also some blame to be laid at the foot of the pharmaceutical companies that marketed these pain-killing drugs and also the doctors that have perhaps been prescribing them too liberally.
Yes, that is very much part of, as you called, the seriousness of the epidemic and the root causes. The seriousness is that the drug dealers have gone from the streets into doctors' offices, that the doctors have become, in essence, the drug dealers, prescribing Percocet and other opioid-based drugs that were so readily available, and also over-prescribing drugs like Suboxone or Methadone to try to make the recovery chemical-based recovery rather than a spiritually-based recovery. And that just perpetuated the use of drugs. These are being pushed by the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors because it's a money maker for them. It's something that provides them with continued income that they would lose if the person went into recovery. So it's a very serious problem in the medical profession, in the treatment of addictions, in the treatment field. These things need to be cleaned up, and the government is going to need to step in, as it has started to do, but in a more serious way.
Can you share with me very briefly a couple of the most shocking stories involving those addicted to opioids or heroin that you personally have come across and that, in your view, best exemplify the horror of addiction?
The ones that I have come across that I guess I wouldn't use the word shocking, because having been in the field for 30 years, there's nothing that shocks me, but there are cases that sadden me. And when I say sadden, I mean have the effect to really take a toll on my own psychological and emotional well-being. And that has to be the death of a heroin addict, particularly in the way that some of them have died, going up into the areas where they sell drugs, dying there and being missing for several days. And then sadly, their body is found and it needs to be identified, and the parents need to be informed. And I've been involved in that a few times, and that's been very heavy on my heart. People that I know that I've worked with, that have lived in sober houses that I have managed, when they leave the house and they die within the week after leaving. Parents who've lost more than one child to this addiction, whether it was 3 months apart or 10 years, it's very devastating to lose one child, to lose one or two or even three children is even more devastating. And those have been some of the cases that have weighed so heavily on me. One of them that was found left by his friends in a hotel room, and parents who have to find their child dead in their own home to wake up and go into your son or daughter's room or open the bathroom door and find your own child dead and feel so helpless and powerless.
To look on the brighter side, has there been any particularly inspirational story of somebody you know that was an addict and has managed to come out of it? If so, could you share that with us?
Absolutely. So many of them. And thank God, because they give me hope. So many of them who were down and out and had given up hope. And through the grace of God, they are able to get better. They work the program. They do what they're supposed to do. They take suggestions. They work with the sponsor. And after 60 days, 90 days, and 2 years, and they're living productive lives. And that's such an inspiration to other addicts who are struggling to know that one person has done it gives many people hope that they also can do it.
And does having a faith in God, a religious faith, help in these situations? Have you seen that very clearly in your experience?
Yes, more so a spiritual experience. And I know there's debate about spirituality and religion, but many of them do return to the religion of their childhood with a deeper understanding of God, His grace and redemption. It's a beautiful thing to have them talk about their personal relationship with God and how prayer is such a central component to their recovery, how it's the first thing they do in the morning and the last thing they do at night is pray, give thanks to God, be grateful for the life that they're living, be grateful for recovery. Living that kind of life is something we're all called to, but for addicts, it's not only it's their call to, it's that their life depends upon living that type of life, because when they start letting go of the prayer, start letting go of the relationship with God, then they see the addiction creep in until they are actively using again.
And that was Father John Stabino, Director of Catholic Charities Addiction Healing Ministry in Camden, New Jersey.